Amazing how the pressure is put on young people today, and they, a very small moment of yielding to passion, a natural passion, can reap decades of trouble, enslavement, hindrance. And I pray that each and every young person would purpose in their heart that they are going to keep themselves for whoever God has for our spouse. I pray that if that hasn't happened, that they can make that agreement again and do right. I just pray that you'd help married folks to realize that the pressure that's put on young people, and we need to help them and guard some of the things as far as television, everything. I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ezekiel, remember, was a priest taken in a second military campaign. In chapter 23, he starts off, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother." So we got two sisters. And when you get a pair of girls together running around late at night, you got a lot of nothing good happening. I don't know if small towns do cruising anymore. Anybody know they do cruising? I never saw that before, cruising. But when we were at Grace College, Jan, were you with us at that time? We happened to drive through Goshen, and they were cruising. And I never saw that before. And what it is, it's a traffic jam in a small town where they just go by 1 mile an hour, and this one's full, 1 mile an hour, and beeping, honking, and waving, and yelling. And then you get to the end of the town, you turn around, get back in line again. It's frustrating when you're trying to go through town. But, of course, gasoline back then was 80 cents a gallon. Might have been 57 cents a gallon. But that's cruising. Young people just get out there and do that, and not much good happens there. Cruising, yeah. Yeah. Back in, what, 1880s, and that, right there? We did it on chariots going back, horse and buggies. That's the Amishman, horse and buggies back there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Crown Point. You know, it's just amazing. Then you know, a carload of girls, four girls, you know nothing's going to happen with that. So you got two sisters. Now he's going to use these sisters in verse 3. They're going to commit whoredoms in Egypt. Okay? Verse 4, the sisters' names, God's going to use them as an illustration of Israel, which is called Samaria in verse 4. The names of them were Aholah, the elder, and Aholibah, whatever that is, her sister, and they were mine. Okay, so they were Jewish girls, okay, and they were mine, and they bear sons and daughters. Probably different dads, okay, and they're strapped in with that. And these were their names. Samaria is Aholah, and Jerusalem, Aholibah. So it's one is the northern tribe, Israel, the 10 tribes, and then the other, the younger one, is portraying Jerusalem and Judah. Okay, so at this time of the writing, Israel already has gone into captivity, and it's going to tell why. And that should have served as an example to Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was worse. Instead of repenting and getting right, they were worse than what Israel did. So these two girls are going to be the examples. Okay, and Aholah played the harlot when she was mine. Okay, and if you would have told her she was a harlot, boy, she would have got offended. How dare you say that? Well, that's what you are. Okay, and she doted on her lovers, on the Assyrians, her neighbors. Okay, so that's when Assyria came in and conquered Israel. So their one that she was doting on came and conquered their nation. Now notice she's the aggressor. Okay, and when a nation has wicked women, you got a bad nation. Okay, men are almost always wicked. Okay, but when women tend to be more spiritual than men, okay, and when women can cuss and make a sailor blush, you're dealing with some wicked women. And it's a bad nation. So she's the aggressor. She has an expectation in her mind of reading the little girly magazines, the little teeny bopper magazines that... If you get this hero, and they had the heroes and the sex symbols and all that stuff in Jerusalem. And so they had an expectation, just like Hollywood says, you're going to live happily ever after. How's that working for Hollywood? So she's got this expectation of this fantasy that she's supposed to experience. Okay, and so she's the aggressor. And then she is going after the young soldiers, okay, which were clothed with blue, and captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen ruling or riding upon horses. So she liked that uniform, liked that that impressed her. Okay, and then verse 7, thus she committed her whoredoms with them. Okay, and if you would have called her that, she would have been greatly offended, but that's what she is. Okay, and it says, with all them that were chosen men of Assyria and with all on whom she doted, again, she's the aggressor. Okay, with all their idols, she defiled herself. Okay, she defiled herself. If you would, let's run to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The devil knows, okay, that drinking will ruin a guy's liver, okay, stuff like that. Certain sins, that individual is going to suffer for it, and his immediate family might suffer for it. But he knows that this passion, this natural passion that God has placed within the body of men and women, if not held in check, that moment of passion, and any of us has observed this, that when animals in nature get this passion, when this bird is chasing after another bird, it ignores all danger. Because it's got this passion that God has placed in animals so that the race and the species can keep going on. Okay, but when they do that, these animals, they ignore everything. They just have to be satisfied with that. And the devil knows that when you do that with people, we are uniquely different than animals. We behave different than animals. Okay, and when it gets into the sin of fornication, people act different than animals. Okay, none of my chickens are griping about the rooster being unfaithful right in front of them. I mean, stinking rooster, he's got no, scruples to him. Okay, and so that's how animals are. Okay, but people are different. So he says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? It's like you ever get in a discussion from somebody and you say, what? Don't you know that? What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. He's using marriage as an illustration. Now, there's a slight variation because when it's a marriage, they become one flesh. But when it's with a harlot, it's one body. There's a very subtle difference. I don't know if I got to figure it out. Okay, but it's not, you know, maybe not a real legitimate marriage, but it is a spiritual marriage where now their spirits are united. And if this party has, say, two or three devils in them, okay, this party is now married to that party with the devils. The devils come with it. Sort of kind of like a mother-in-law with a spouse. I don't know. Okay, but okay, so in verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He is using marriage as an example. That's why he says flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So the idea here is, it is definitely a spiritual marriage where when this party has this and this party has this, they are now joined together, and the spirits in this party come over and they go back and forth. And if there's a love triangle and you got a third party, and this one's got three or four spirits, and this one's got three or four, and this one's now got a couple, you've got about seven or eight spirits that's running around all three of them. And then when you get into sodomy, you got 100. And that's why 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. It binds them. It binds them up. Okay, there's many a young man, say when he's 18 or so, 17, he yields to this passion, this natural passion that God has for us, but it's got to be kept within the biblical standards of marriage. Okay, so he has a kid by the time he's 18. And, of course, they're not going to stick together, most likely not. But if they do, they do. Praise the Lord. And then if they don't stick together, he's got another one here. He's got to pay child support now for 20-some years, two different parties. They get strapped in. The devil knows that this is a way to strap, to enslave young people for decades. Okay, and so that's why this is something a person has to get in their crawl, that I'm going to keep myself pure. Okay, and so that back to Ezekiel 23. So, with all their idols, she defiled herself. So the same thing goes in the spiritual world where idolatry, idols, it's a magnet. It's a magnet of unclean spirits. Okay, and so a person has to be careful about what they have in their house. They go on vacations. They buy a little Buddha statue. You just might have a little devil with that thing. Okay, verse 8, neither left she her whoredoms brought from Egypt, for in her youth, okay, we'll skip that. Verse 9, wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers. Now you can see how the word is used, like Hollywood. Into the hand of the Assyrians upon whom she doted. Okay, she is going after them. She's the aggressor. She has this expectation that I'm going to find Prince Charming. Okay, so what happens? These discovered her nakedness. They took her sons and her daughters and slew her with the sword, and she became famous among women. That's not the kind of famous you want to be, for they had executed judgment upon her. When her sister, so this is Jerusalem, Judah, her sister Aholabah, saw this, she was more corrupt in her inordinate love than she. She's worse. And her whoredom is more than her sister in her whoredom. She doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed with most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled, that they took both one way. One way. When they start, you see, when a person starts going down this path, this one-way path, when they start going down this path, if they don't get off the road, they'll be surprised what they do. You know, a lot of times in high school, you say 10 years from now, where's everybody going to be? You'll be surprised. And at that time, a person would never dream they'd be there. It's one bad choice here, another little bad choice, a little bad choice. This choice is a big choice. It's a bad one. It straps you in. It gets you panicky. You make another bad choice, another bad choice. This girl would have never dreamed someday she's going to offer her kids as a sacrifice. At that time, if you said someday you're going to take your little child, your little boy, and you're going to offer to a sacrifice, no way, I'd never do something like that. You don't know what you do once you start going on this path. You say, well, I have a good upbringing. Yeah, a lot of people have good upbringing. Well, I'll know better. Yeah, a guy knows better. He shouldn't commit murder, but he does it. Okay, and so once you get going down this path, she's doting on them. She's going after them. She has an expectation that she thinks it's going to be like the fairy tales. So verse 14, and that she increased her whoredom, for when she saw men portrayed upon the wall. Now she's lusting after the posters in her bedroom.
Get Justin Bieber up there.
You know, and this Hulk up there. And they're sitting there looking, oh, he's so handsome. How do you know he's a he? In this age. And these guys stuck on steroids, these wrestlers that on steroids, then they head to suicide and they're beating their wives because that's a byproduct of that. The aggression that goes with those steroids because they're trying to bulk up. So she's got the image of the Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion, girded with girdles upon their loins, exceeding in dyed attire upon their heads, all of them princes to look to, after the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea, the land of their nativity. Okay, 16, she doted upon them again. Okay, now notice, 17, very important. A lot of times when you read a story like this, sometimes the Lord tucks something kind of hidden in there, and it tells you something. 17, the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their whoredoms, and she was polluted with them, and her mind was alienated from them. It wasn't what she expected. The expectations were not what she thought it was going to happen. She thought that this individual was going to love them, and this individual just used her, and her mind is alienated from him. But she's trapped. She's trapped now. The cords of sin are like around her, and she's going to keep going one after another, and she's got no care in the world. One heartache after another, crying herself to sleep at night. Okay, and then she probably gets some sexual disease because she's loose and everything. And that's part of God's program. When you violate the natural laws, when you sow to your flesh corruption, you're going to reap it. Okay, so there she's alienated. In the other, the doting, she admired them. Now she's alienated from them. And we're going to read later, she hates them. She just flat hates them. So verse 18, so she discovered her whoredoms and discovered her nakedness. Then my mind was alienated from her, like as my mind was alienated from her sister. Now this is Israel. Now it's Judah. So God is saying, okay, I got enough of this. And the Lord says, I'm alienated from them. Okay, Old Testament doctrine, but still there's a general principle there. Okay, until this person repents, asks God to forgive them, God is alienated from them. Now, we know we got eternal security in the New Testament. Okay, but We'll see in this picture, these girls are doting among men, but then if you look at the other side, like Ruth behaves meekly and quietly as she serves the Lord and her family. Okay, women, wicked women are aggressive and forward toward men, and they call attention to themselves through loudness or lewd dress. If you would, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, if you look at the Middle Eastern dress ideas, is they got a bunch of clothes on, but yet they have loose clothes. And that's one of the keys, is have loose apparel, okay, where it's not forming the shape of the body. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Okay, so notice, apparel, shamefacedness, our apparel should draw attention to our face. Shamefacedness, a face with natural blush. When the apparel is improper, it will draw the man's attention to the bottom or the breast or whatnot. And a man's going to lust after that. And then in Matthew chapter 5, it says he's committed adultery with her. So in many cases, she's not thinking. She doesn't realize, ladies don't realize that men get turned on by sight. And ladies get aroused by touch. And so you have to be, what you broadcasting for? What are you advertising for? If you're married, why do you want to advertise to somebody else? Advertise with him. Okay? And the thing is, shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. The idea, Hollywood, they've got this thing down to a science where the fads and the fashions, they come and they go, they come and they go. In the early 1970s, in the 1960s, if you remember men's neckties, they were real skinny, real small. And in the 70s, they went bigger. And Grandpa Hoffman, he had this big tie on at that time. He said, well, I had this from the last time it was in. That was in the 50s. So it kind of goes back and forth. Hollywood knows that people will constantly go after these fads and fashions, and that's how you keep them poor. You get your closet all filled up with all these fashions, then they'll change the fashions. Now you got to have a garage sale and go buy the fads and the fashion. No, you buy what's classic. It goes through with time, and if you want to be treated like a lady, you need to dress like a lady. Okay, the devil knows that this attraction, it's a natural attraction, but he also knows that's how you enslave a society. Okay, verse 19, you got more whoredoms going on. In verse 20, she doted upon their paramours. Okay, that's a secret lover-like. Especially a lover of a person who's married to someone else. It's a sex triangle is what it is. Okay, several years ago, a fella had written me, and he sees in the Old Testament about all this stuff about polygamy, and he thought, maybe he could be a good dad to more children, so he'd get a second wife, and he actually was trying to convince his wife to do that, and he asked me about that, sent an email, and I sent an answer back. I said, no man can serve two masters. Why would you want to do that? He didn't like my sense of humor. And so then I said, well, how would you feel if she wanted a second husband? Well, that'd be gross. Oh, it's not gross the other way? I know what he's doing. He's just trying to satisfy his lust. Try to trade her the 140 for 220s. That's all he was trying to do. I mean, you can figure that out. Okay, but in verse 20, she's doting upon their paramours. whose flesh is as the flesh of asses and whose issue is like the issue of horses. 22, notice, her mind is alienated from him. See, the expectations were not what Hollywood portrays. So she's alienated from them. If you run over to verse 28, she hates them. That's the progression down. And if you would have told the two girls when they had all these posters in their bedrooms, they said, what you wasting your money on that stuff for? Oh, come on, he's handsome. Well, and he'll probably beat your face in too when he's tired of you. Well, what does she do? Verse 22, 23 are the nations involved there. That's with Israel. As we keep reading down, notice in verse 25. They shall take thy sons and thy daughters, and thy residue shall be devoured by fire. Okay, this is the Lord pronouncing judgment against Judah. And the reason why he does that is because she's going to do that. She's panicking. You see, and it's amazing these how far down a person will go. You know, the crazy Bernie, goofy Bernie, he thinks the way to solve the overpopulation is you have mass abortions. Okay, well, how about we start with you? You know, you be the example. Abort yourself. Has anybody ever heard Rush Limbaugh do a caller abortion? Anybody ever use that? He hasn't done it for, man, probably two decades. I first started listening to him in 1987, 89. He started in 87. I was listening to 89. And I'd hear this Mike Tyson impersonator. And he'd say, the following program is salutable for mature audiences. And that was an introduction to Rush's program. And so he used a phone call to illustrate an abortion. He'd call the phone company. When does a phone call start? When you dial it? When they pick it up? When you get the dial tone? When does it start? He said, when they pick it up, that's when the call is started. Okay, so then let's abort this phone call. And then he has a vacuum sweeper in the background. You hear a little child screaming. And he hangs up. He says, see, I just aborted a phone call. And it is an amazing illustration of abortion. But he don't do it anymore because he lost stations on that just to give the reality. He has it in his book. I think it's the first book. I think the book was I Told You So. And so he has it portrayed in there. It's a very good illustration. But, you know, these people that are talking goofy, I mean, they are so outside of reality. Okay, so now they're talking. Okay, let's give birth and analyze it if we want to keep it. They're talking that. And now they're talking, you know, to help, you know, with climate change, we need to consider the possibility of eating human flesh. That's where they're heading with this stuff. Okay, and that's how perverse the society is getting. Human life gets degraded down to nothing. Okay, and so as this is progressing down, in verse 28, it says she now hates them. Okay, let's see. She's polluted by the idols in verse 30. Let's see. Drop down to verse 35. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back. So they put God in a back burner. Therefore, bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. Okay, there you go. If you don't like it, then you make your bed, you sleep in it. And that's what the Lord's telling them. So he says, the Lord said moreover unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Ahotah, Aholah, and Aholabah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations. Tell them for what they are. That they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. At the beginning of the chapter, when these girls, you walk in their bedrooms, and they had their little posters on the wall, if you would have said to them, in about 15 years, you are going to give your son to burn for Molech, they would have said, there's no way I would even do that. They would have never dreamed it. One never knows how far you will go once you travel down that road of sin. You just don't know. So that's pretty bad, pretty bad. And the thing about the Lord is all they needed to do was turn to Him, repent, and He would have helped them. Now they would have had to reap the consequences of their sin, but at least they would have God to help them. But unfortunately, a person gets helpless and they just die a very lonely death, very sad death. Verse 38, moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols. Okay, now, abortion, you know, as far as that goes, people don't realize that when that act is committed, that is an open door for more unclean spirits, stronger spirits. Okay, and that's what binds the people into that. Now, again, repentance to the Lord will forgive. Okay, but that becomes a spirit, and this is why you see the odd behavior of these people when you just give a little hint that possibly abortion isn't necessary. They're not pro-abortion. They're, you know, they say pro-life and the opposite of anti-life or pro-death. They are pro-death people. Okay, and so it gets a spirit that gets in there where they become so illogical that a spirit just starts messing with their brain. Okay, let's see, that's 38, 39, okay, 40. Furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent, and lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, paintest thy face, and deckest thyself with ornaments. Okay, so obviously, you know, the Bible's not forbidding makeup, not forbidding it. The intention is obviously... Okay, but still, okay, if a guy, you know, really wants to see what his future wife looks like, show up at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning and see her then. Okay, and now with all the cosmetic stuff going on, cosmetic surgery, they can make the nose and they can... bring the eyebrow ridge down. They can move the jaw in. They could take shave the Adam's apple. You don't know what you're looking at nowadays. You know, hair color and license, they got to put multicolor. Okay, you really don't know. And a lot of young men are looking at pictures and they don't know there's airbrushed. That is not natural. You compare that to her, you know, in 3 years down the road, you're going to say, well, it gives you a distorted And it gets with devils. It gets with spirits again. And what they're looking at is not natural. It's either airbrushed, all the pictures are airbrushed, or the multiple cosmetic surgeries. Okay, Michael Jackson, obviously an example. The guy couldn't stand close to a candle in his later years because he'd melt. But a lot of these people are like that. I mean, everything starts sagging and it goes bad. It goes bad quick. Why? To satisfy lust. So in verse 40, they deckest thyself with ornaments. Well, years ago, I don't know where Jan and I was at. I think it was one of the last times I went to, always down Indiana Beach. I think, man, this has been 25 years ago. And sometimes you see those places where you see they have real old-fashioned dress. And then somebody can just stand behind and put your head through and you get this beautiful dress. You know, and I sit there and there's a look like a brother and sister. She's probably about 15 and then he was like 12 and he was old fashioned. She's old fashioned dressed. I'm looking at, man, that is a cute picture. And then they came around. I said, oh, gag. Get back in there. But they could have looked like that if they just dressed appropriately. You know, and the thing is if you want to be treated with some respect, then carry yourself with respect. So in verse 40, paintest herself, all these ornaments on the body. 41, it got sat us upon a stately bed and a table prepared for it, before it. Okay, this is how they would eat. They'd recline and eat. That's how John the Apostle was leaning on the Lord's breast, because it was a reclining like a couch as they were eating. Okay, 42, and a voice of her multitude being at ease was with her, and with the men of the common sort were brought Sabians from the wilderness, which put bracelets upon their hands and beautiful crowns upon their heads. So, thinking, they're thinking, oh man, we're going to get it. We're going to really be blessed. No, you're not. In verse 44, at the end, he calls them lewd women. Lewd women. And 45, the paragraph mark, and the righteous men, that's how it's used in the Old Testament, they shall judge them after the manner of adulteresses and after manner of women that shed blood. Because they are adulteresses and blood is in their hands. So under the Old Testament covenant, the murder and adultery, that was punishable by death. Okay, and then 46, for thus saith the Lord God, I will bring up a company upon them. So now he's resorting back to the nation. He says, I will give them to be removed and spoiled, and the company shall stone them with stones and dispatch them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters and burn up their houses with fire. Jeremiah writes about that. Thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all women may be taught not to do after their lewdness. And they shall recompense their lewdness upon you, and ye shall bear the sins of your idols, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. So there's that chapter's, you know, right in your face, hitting it, what it is. Telling the truth about it. And sadly, we can see it taking place in America. And it's just going down the tubes. Okay, any questions or comments we covered on that?